before we start. Let's take a few moments to worship the Supreme One, the Unparalleled One, the Compassionate One, the Tathagata, by chanting Namaskar 3 times all together and with me.
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa.
With the permission from the Lord Buddha, Dhamma, and the Mahasangha, let's begin. In the upcoming days, we have the Sinhala and Tamil New Year's coming up, on the 13th and 14th of April. And, of course, it is a very auspicious time and a very important time. So I just wanted to briefly talk about it, not for too long, of course, because I had a really good conversation with some of our monks and Anagarikas, and I got to realize how special it actually is. Now, before I talk about this, what I really do want to talk, what I want to start off by talking about is, in this world, what are there? What is there in this world? Now, the very simple answer is, well, there is, number one, people. There are animals. There are trees. There are buildings, roads. And you can, you know, make a almost an infinite list of what there are in this world. However, when you get into the depths of it, what you realize is, well, there are energies, and there is, so you can call it matter, but really matter is what? Condensed energy. Now, the reason why I want to start off by talking about this is because sometimes in this, you know, when you go through in life, what you realize is sometimes a person may have done or said something to hurt you. A person might have done or said something that may have hurted you in some sort of way. And this is really interesting. Because if I asked you, how often do you hurt another person's feelings? Knowingly. Your answer will vary. Person to person, situation to situation, your answer will vary. However, sometimes, you know, some people will say a very large number. Some people will say almost zero. And some people may even say zero. I do try my very best not to hurt anyone at all. If I was to ask you the question, why? Why do you not hurt another person? Again, your answer will vary person to person, situation to situation, because there is no, of course, no right or wrong answer to this. But simply, you can say it's because of the views that you hold. It's the views that you hold, the knowledge, the experience that you've gone through. Therefore, you may, you know, do something and say something and make sure you don't hurt someone, or you do something to hurt another person. And that could be for various reasons. However, There can be several occasions where someone may have said something or done something that may have hurted you. Now, the human mind loves doing this, and you all can confirm this as well. We love the moment someone does something to us, either good or bad, we love giving them a small title, a small label, saying that, say, for example, this person, this person complimented my cooking. Our mind loves to give a label, saying that this person is what? A good person. You know, they complimented me. I like that. And then you give them a label and you say, this is a good. This is a good person. On the other hand, when someone has wronged us in some sort of way, we automatically give them a label. And our mind loves holding on to these labels. Our mind loves clinging on to these labels, labeling another person due to their actions that may have occurred just once. You give them a label and you hold on tight saying, this person is like that. That person is like that. And sometimes these labels turn into grudges. Sometimes these labels turn into something that people cannot avoid. That the moment you see the person, immediately you get the idea, I don't like this person. Avoid, avoid, avoid. These labels turn into grudges, something that almost a hatred that builds up between two. A hatred that builds up between two people to the point where two people can't even look at each other. Now, again, this will vary person to person, situation to situation. However, if we look at it correctly, if we look at it properly, you come to realize what is actually happening. Now, like I said, our actions, you know, the actions that happen are due to our own, we call it morals. So for example, someone has done something to wrong you. You know, 99% of the time, your morals will say what? Don't react. Hopefully, 99% of you. Or 99% of you, 99% of the time will say what? Don't react, it's okay. But your morals are something that is according to your environment, according to your experience, according to your knowledge, according to what you have seen, what you have heard, your morals will vary. That's why we have limits. We have limits to our patience. We have limits saying that, you know, if this surpasses this limit, I'm going to have to react. Which is really funny because sometimes the meek and timid among us can be the ones who are the most ferocious. And I know that through experience. Sometimes the meek and timid among us, when their limits of patience have surpassed, oh dear. You let the beast out. But we have a limit to that. Our patience has a limit. And when someone has done something and said something that bypasses the patience, the limit of patience, now we react. But how much patience do we have will vary. Again, from person to person, situation to situation. But it's a build-up of what? Your knowledge and your experience. The things that you've heard and the things that you've seen. That's why if you're surrounded by very compassionate people, automatically you become what? Very angry. When you're surrounded by people with compassion, do you feel anger? No, your own mind will become compassionate because that's your environment. If you're surrounded by people who have short tempers, what does that say about you? You will also have what? A very short temper. And sometimes you may have experienced this. For example, when you're with certain people, you act certain in certain ways. When you're with others, you act completely different. For example, when you're at the monastery, the way you act isn't the same way you act when you're at home. When you're surrounded by people that you know, it's not the same way that you act when you're with people that you don't know. Your environment will affect all these scenarios. All these different scenarios are affected by your environment, your knowledge, and your experience. And therefore, you react differently. Now, here's the thing. We're talking about ourselves here. But what about the people around us? Are they different? Do they have different, or do their knowledge work differently? Do their morals work differently? Morals can be different, but they work the same way. They are also according to what? The environment, according to what? Knowledge and according to experience. This is why you'll see, you know, sometimes, that's why some people, you know, will, according to the situation, will say something. When their limit of patience is passed, they will say something or do something that may or may not hurt you. They may say something or do something that may or may not hurt you. Now, when that happens, what is your response? If you let the mind label, if you let the mind label and say, that person is a horrible person, that person has wronged me, I must seek revenge. You're seeking revenge from what exactly? You're seeking revenge for what exactly? You're seeking revenge of an action that that person has done, or a word that the person has done according to the scenario of that moment, and you're giving them a label. Something that you cannot do is label a mind. A mind cannot be labeled because the mind is what? A mind is what? It is one of the most, it's very temporary. The mind arises, the mind passes. The next mind isn't the same mind as the one that arose before. According to the scenario, at this moment does the mind arise. But yet, if you are label a mind that happened, say, 2 years ago, and say that's the same mind now, well, that's foolishness. Your mind is something, or the mind is something that can change every single moment. But yet, if you were to label and say, you know, this mind was the same mind that hurt me 3 years ago, now what? You're almost like picking up. It's like this. If you were to get a bottle of water, and if you were to spill it into the ocean, would you ever be able to pick up a handful of the water that you just spilt into the sea? a pure handful of the exact water that you poured into the sea, would you be able to pick it back up? It's impossible. Because why? The moment you pour the water in the sea, the water mixes immediately. Is it the same water that you'll pick up the first scoop? And if you took, say, 3 scoops, are they the same water that you pick up? Same molecules of water? Unfortunately not. Same with minds. So yet our mind likes to hold grudges, whether big or small. You know, having this discussion with several monks, I realized that, you know, some people will hold grudges for years. Decades. Lifetimes. Lifetimes of grudges. Just because of something they have said or done. Maybe not once or twice, maybe several times, but yet the mind labels and holds a grudge. They didn't give me the thing that I wanted, therefore I don't like the person. I don't want to look at the person. I don't want to see the person. They said something about me that I didn't want to hear, therefore I don't like this person. Let me stay away from this person. And they hold a grudge dear. The question is, why? Why hold a grudge? The first question is, why hold a grudge? The second question is, how do you hold a grudge? First question is, why? The reason why a person will hold a grudge is because they believe that person has done something, has said something to me. And therefore, that person has hurt me, therefore I don't like that person. How do you hold a grudge? How can you hold a grudge? When you realize that a mind is something that arises and passes away a million times a second, how can you hold a grudge with something that's happened in the past? Now, that's not saying that you excuse them and let them, you know, a person that has wronged you, it doesn't mean that you, there's not me saying that it's okay. I'm not saying that it's right for them to have done what they have done. Of course not. But for you to have labeled them and said that this person will always be like that, that is wrong. Because remember, a scenario can happen, and something that is, you know, the core principle of Buddhism is what? Everything is what? Cause and effect. Everything is what? Cause and effect. That's a core principle of this Buddhist philosophy. So when something is to happen to you, why is that? When the causes come together, the effect manifests. When the causes come together, the effect manifests. Which is a very key part. Because for something to happen to you, there must be what? Causes. And that person, or that mind, is just what? A single cause. It's just... When I say a single cause, I don't mean it's just one cause, but it's just a small group of causes that gives rise to this effect. It's not the only cause. For example, let's say someone's angry with you and they start saying, you know, they're starting to shout at you. As they're shouting, right, next door there's some construction going on. And then they're using, you know, these big hammers and whatnot, these hammer drills and whatnot, and there's a loud noise. Would you be able to hear what they're saying? So can you be angry with what they're saying? Well, you have no idea what they say. But you know that they're saying something with anger because you can read facial expressions. I agree. But you won't know what they're saying. So the causes did not align for you to hear. Well, you know how sometimes, say, two people are talking about, let's say they're talking about you, and for some reason, you walk into the room just as they're talking about you. They don't realize you're there, and they're still talking, and you get to hear the entire conversation. Again, causes came together to give rise to an effect. This could be due to very many different causes, but one of the main causes is your own karma. Karma that you have done has taken fruit at that moment. That is also one of the causes. So when you hear that something has happened to someone, what you have to realize is there are causes that come together to give rise to the effect. So when someone has done something to hurt you, that's not real. What has happened is what? Causes have come together to give rise to an effect. And the mind felt hurt. See, you may get to hear horrible stories. You may, something that is very popular for the last, I think, decade or so and will be popular is, how people love listening to, what do you call them? You call them true crime? About serial killers, about, these murders and all these stuff. And, we people like listening to those. And when you listen to that, you think, oh, how horrible the other person is. Why would they do it to such an innocent person, X, Y, and Z? Or let's say you hear a story about, you hear on the news about a person who has done something horrible to their parents, and you think, oh, what a horrible child that is. If you really think about it, causes came together at that moment to give rise to an effect. If I took a matchbox and struck a matchstick, a fire will light. A fire will light at that moment. Tell me, is that good or bad? I take a matchbox, strike a matchstick, and there's a fire on the tip of the matchstick. Is that fire a good or bad thing? You can't say. Because it's just what? An effect. However, if half of you were to think, you know what, I don't want there to be a fire. And I struck the matchbox and there's a fire. Now half of you think it's a bad thing. If the other half says, I want there to be a fire, and I struck the light matchbox, now you'll say it's a good thing. But that's not dependent on the striking or the matchbox or the matchstick. That's dependent on what? Your mindset. Now, this is not me saying that, we can justify actions and say, hey, there's nothing wrong with it. Let it all be. No, what I'm saying is, what we have to learn to do and what we have to understand is what's happening. Causes are coming together at this moment to give rise to this effect. And when we got to the topic of karma vipaka, right, the next thing that comes to your head is, then that means people deserve it. For example, something that's very common, especially amongst people who understand, karma vipaka, is that, I fell down, I must deserve it. Or, someone gave me a chocolate. Why? Because I deserve it. Because that's my karma in the past that I have done, and therefore it gives rise to this effect. The actual idea of deserving or not is also based in what? Ignorance. How? How do you know? Why are you deserving of something? So for example, let's say yesterday I pushed someone over and today someone pushes me. And you think, ah, okay, I got pushed because why? I deserve it because I did it yesterday. The feeling of I deserve it, or that's, you know, they deserved it. That is based on ignorance, because why? You are saying that I had done something in the past and that that thing is what affects me now. What I have done in the past, that's what's affecting me at this moment. The karma that I have done in the past is what that same thing is what's affecting me at this moment. Whose action that was done when? That affects who? At what moment? An action that I have done in the past is giving an effect at this moment. It was that action, because I pushed someone yesterday, did someone come and push me today? That is a story that ignorance writes. The feeling of deserving or not, that is based on ignorance. Because how can you deserve when your mind just arose at this moment? You see, all that's happening is what? The mind arises, the mind passes. The mind arises, perceives, the mind passes. So who is deserving? Let's say a mind arises, perceives, passes, and what has happened is someone has I pushed someone. The mind arises, the mind passes. But the feeling of jati, the feeling of sense of self says what? I did that. Therefore, it's stored as what? Karma. Another mind, when, we can't say, another mind arises and perceives someone else pushing. So someone else pushes me. And jati feels what? Ah. I was pushed because I pushed someone. And you create this cycle that says what? I deserved it. Okay. But really, you can't say that. Instead, all you can say is what? The causes came together this moment to give rise to this effect. It wasn't because of that action did I get this effect. That action gave rise to karma. That karma gave that was a cause for this effect. But the story that you write, that's jati made. The story that you write, that's made from jati. Because all you can have at this moment is what? Causes coming together at this moment to give rise to this effect. You fell over. Did you deserve it? Someone has taken your spot. Did you deserve it? Someone has taken your patkada. Do you deserve it? You booked a chair, right, to listen to Guru Hanuman's sermon or Naikan's sermon, and someone's taking your spot. Did you deserve it? Causes came together to give rise to an effect. Deserving or not? That's up to jati to decide whether you deserved it or not. That's why it's very easy to say, you know, I didn't do anything. I mean, you can do both ways. You can say, well, I didn't do anything, but yeah, you know, everyone is shouting at me. I don't deserve that. Why is it all happening to me? You know, everything's happening to me. You know, everyone's shouting at me. I haven't done anything wrong. Please, like, everyone's looking at me wrong. Again, am I deserving of this? Causes come together at this moment to give rise to that effect. Whether you deserve it or not, that's up to Jati to decide. Jati will decide for you whether you deserve it or not, because Jati can feel whatever it wants to feel. Because in reality, all that happens is what? Causes come together to give rise to the moment. So when the mind holds a grudge, there is no base for it to hold a grudge. You pick up some water, you shout at the water. Will you ever pick up that water again? You cannot. This is why it's very, very, I think, what is very special is in the Sinhala and Tamil New Year, one of the major events, especially not just in Sri Lanka, but all over the world, and especially in the monastery, that we do is what? We go around asking for forgiveness. Asking for forgiveness for anything that we have done, either knowingly or unknowingly, to another, and ask for their forgiveness. And not only that, forgiving anyone who has wronged us. So something that our monastery does is, you know, we would go around with our betel leaves, and we'll give it to, you know, our elders. So in the monastery, you know, we have the monks have a seniority order. And we'll go up to our elders, giving them this betel leaf and worshipping them and asking for their forgiveness for any thoughts, words, or actions that we may have done, either knowingly or unknowingly. May you forgive us. May you forgive me. And if you have ever done something to hurt me, I forgive you. In this entire samsaric journey, if something has happened, I forgive you. And will you forgive me? Now, a couple years back, something that we used to do is we used to go to every single monk and all the anagarikas and anagarikas, and everyone would give a betel leaf to each other. That was okay when we had, 100, 200 people. But now, you know, the numbers have risen, and I don't think our knees can bear that much. So I think there'll be, you know, this year there'll be another process that our monastery will decide. And this is also an invitation for all of you as well. You know, to the people that you associate, be that mom, dad, your mothers, your fathers, brothers, sisters, you know, children, uncles, aunts. It could be a teacher or anyone that you know, you associate. You know, go and just ask for their forgiveness. Forgive them. You know, start the next year, the next Sri Lankan Tamil New Year. You know, we have two New Years. We're very lucky, especially in Sri Lanka. We've got two New Years. We've got one in December 31st, and one in April. Very lucky. We get to start new two times a year. But you know, start this April, this next. Because you can't say New Year, because the first thing that comes to my mind when I say New Year is January. Start the next year. With not a single grudge. Without a single label of a person. Start clean. Start anew. No matter what they have done to wrong you, forgive them. Start fresh. Because what does a grudge actually do? It does nothing but ruin your own mindset. What does a grudge actually do? It doesn't do anything but ruin your own mindset. Why hold it then? You know, it could be as simple as, I don't like the way the person walks. Oh, trust me, there are many people who would say that. You know, that person doesn't, has a weird way of walking. I don't like it. Therefore, I don't like the person. No, forgive. I mean, one thing is they can't control that, but, let it go. Get rid of all these labels that you have of others. Give them a second chance, because then if you give that, you will also get what? A second chance. Remove all labels. Start anew. And that is one of the greatest things that comes in this the Sinhala and Tamil New Year. The actual asking for forgiveness. For any thoughts, words, or actions that you've done knowingly or unknowingly in this entire samsaric journey. May I be forgiven and I forgive you. Do this with from the absolute bottom of your heart. Forgive and seek forgiveness. The purer of a person that you are, the purer your heart is. This is when, this is when you're able to open the doors for this, for this pure teaching to enter in. Something that I remember my teachers telling me long, long time ago is that, we have lots of knowledge. Our brains are filled with the Dhamma. However, the path from the brain to the heart is filled with lots of obstacles. The one way you can take the knowledge of Dhamma and actually apply it and use it into your life is when you clear this road. Or when you clear this slate, when you clear this heart, when your heart is pure, can only purity come in. I mean, think about it. How can the teachings that help you to understand reality, how can you truly understand it if your heart is filled with darkness? When your heart is filled with hatred, how can this pure, pristine Dhamma enter? When your heart is filled with jealousy, how can this pristine Dhamma enter the heart? When the heart is filled with desire, the fire of desire, how can this pure Dhamma enter it? That's why, have a clean slate. When you're at home or if you come to the monastery, seek for forgiveness. It's a blessing. It's a blessing being, being a very small, a very young person. For example, our noble heartians are very lucky. Why? They can go to any person and do what? And worship them and ask for their forgiveness. Because why? Restrictions on ego. Their ego doesn't have a restriction. Whoever. They are so lucky. No restrictions and no ego. Well, not no ego. There is ego, but not to a not a tight one, not a tough one. Very lucky, they can worship any person and seek their forgiveness. The question is, can you? Can you go up to the person that you don't like and worship them and say, you know what? You know, from the moment I met you, I didn't like you. Right? Because of this and this and this, I didn't like you doing this and this and this. And therefore, you know, I may have said something and done something that may have hurt you in some sort of way. May you forgive me. If you can go up to the person that you don't like and say that to them, understand that you've gone far. If you can go up to a person that you don't like, and say what, I don't like, you've done this and this and this and I didn't like that. But I understand that it's not a problem in you, it's a problem in me. You know, you're actually this sort of person that you tell them their good qualities and then seek their forgiveness. If you can do that, understand you have gone far. No, just try. See if you can do it for just 3 people. No, you can't say, you know, I don't like that. You know, everyone, I'm surrounded by everyone and everyone, I like everyone. Because a mind likes comparing. So I can guarantee that that every mind here has people they like and people they don't like. Until you become an arahant, you'll always have this comparing. So try to the absolute maximum you can. Try to go up to the person that you don't like and tell them. Because, you know, only another person can truly see your mistakes. Why? Because your mind, because you and your mind is what? Perfect. Only another person can see your mistake. You know, the example that our teachers give us is that, you know, how do you know that the clothes that you're wearing right now doesn't have a hole? So something that I think our teachers have told us, you know, let's say my robe has a hole in it. Say it's in the back, I can't see it. So I will wear my robe and I won't know there's a hole until something happens. Until someone comes and says, what? You know, you have a hole in your robe. Until then, you won't know. That's why, you know, you won't know your own mistakes until someone comes and show it to you. So give an opportunity to someone to show you your mistake. Give them an opportunity. You know, if you can, literally go around to people, right, with a book and a pen and ask them, you know, I know I'm not perfect. You know, I know I make many mistakes. Can you please tell me something that I can do to you know, remove something, a mistake that I have? And something that we did with some of our younger monks is that, you know, we all go into a circle. And we got a piece of paper, which we wrote our name on it. And we just we got a piece of paper with our name on it. And what we did was we got in a circle, and we handed it to the person on our left. The person on our left would write down one thing that they think that, some mistake that we do, and on the other side, one good thing that we do. And then the person afterwards would also write one. And if they agree with the one on top, they'll put a mark. They'll make a tally. And by the end, when that piece of paper comes back to you, you really get to understand how another person sees you. And what mistakes they see in you and what good qualities they see in you. So what do you do? Oh, you know, everyone says I'm a very lazy person. Oh, what am I going to do? You know, I'm going to go back to bed and go back to sleep there. You know, everyone says I get really angry. Why does everyone say this to me? I don't like this, you know. I give up. No, what we do is we're in the hospital to do what? To cure ourselves. So what? Everyone says you're lazy. So what do you do from today onwards? Let's say, you know, something that you realize is some people will see you in a certain way because of something that you did years ago. Very common. Some people will judge you on something that you've done years ago. But let's say you were lazy years ago and you used to be someone who is very, you know, who likes to go to sleep, and every time they go look at you, you're in bed sleeping. That's what you did years ago. You know, after your teachers helped you for so long, you know, had many discussions with you, and now you're not lazy. But sometimes it's very interesting to see that some people will still see you to be what? Lazy. And at that moment, if you think, no matter what I do, everyone thinks I'm lazy, then, well, that's foolishness, isn't it? That's you being foolishness. You've tried, and you've got over it. Just because someone else hasn't seen it doesn't mean that you aren't. You continue. Whatever mistake you have, improve. Whatever mistakes that you've done, improve. What about the good? You know, none of them has said that I offer a glass of water to the Buddha every day. Does no one see that tomorrow, from tomorrow onwards? Okay, everyone, watch me. I have a glass of water. I'm giving it to the Buddha. Next time, write that down on a piece of paper. If you're going to do like that, then there's no point, right? But it's very interesting to see what people actually see of you. And, you know, start, if the mistakes they show, improve. As well as the good things that they see in you, continue to do. I mean, this is why the New Year's is a very, very interesting time. A very, very interesting time for everyone. To come to realize the actual truth. I mean, the singing a Tamil New Year is for us to understand the truth. I mean, you know, even these sort of events that we have, especially in the Sri Lankan, the singing Tamil New Year, these auspicious moments, you know, times where, you know, you have to boil milk. Times where you're not supposed to do any work. I mean, each and every of these moments, they all have meanings. And it really truly shows you how this tradition comes from the mindset of helping others. Of the mindset of helping one another, of doing merits. For example, something that I truly do love is the getting to hear the stories of people. And so usually in the Sri Lankan Tamil New Year, the Singhala Tamil New Year, in the morning, after having a massive breakfast with family, you know, studies show that people nowadays don't actually sit together when they have meals. Very rarely do you sit with your parents and children and whatnot at one table to have a meal. Because, you know, people are very busy these days. You know, they've got lots of work to do. But this, you know, the Sri Lankan, the Singhala Tamil, this new year, you know, people will sit together at a table. At a single table having this breakfast. And something that I really do love hearing is that, you know, once they have a meal, you know, whatever they have, they'll give to their neighbors, to their relatives, to family members, and so basically, whenever they receive something, the first thing that comes to their mind is what? How can I give this away? Whatever greatness I have, I want to give it away. And so, what do the people around them also do? They also think what? I have something good. I have to give it away. I want to give what I have away. And once they give that, and people will share the food that they have with their neighbors, relatives, family members, and people they may or not even know, they'll share a plate. And the absolute beauty of it is, once you receive a plate, you know, you receive a ceramic plate, right? You have to give that plate back. And it's tradition that you never give that plate back empty. You never give an empty plate back. You again fill it with what? Fill it with something and give it back. I mean, that truly shows that the entire idea behind this is what? To give. This giving mindset. How can I give? I have a plate. Oh, there's another opportunity to do what? To give. Let me give, let me give, let me give. It's truly, it's truly amazing to see that. That's built on this idea of giving. How can I give? What can I give? And I was also talking with some of our 18 minus children as well. And we're talking about these New Year games. Some things that they used to enjoy as, things that they used to enjoy. And one of the really interesting ones is, you know, these games that they play as well. How much meaning they have behind them. So I remember back when I, in my late time, every year, we'd also celebrate the Sri Lankan Tamil New Year. I remember, one of my favorite was, eating the bunnies. I participated three times. First time I got third place, second time I got second place, and the third time I got first place. How? I did not know. But I remember Amma used to once record me, right? Recorded me and showed it to me. And I remember finding it so embarrassing. Because what the game is, and is basically there's a string. And on the end of the string, there's a bun. You know, sometimes it's a donut, sometimes it's a bun, who knows what it is. Somehow it's just a string with a bun. And the task is to eat the bun without using your hands. And when I was talking with all these people, something you realize is, when I saw the video of Amma showing me the video of me eating, all I remember was seeing how animalistic it was. How much that resembles what? An animal. And, actually, if you think about it, that's the entire purpose. To remind us of what? Of lives, your previous lives. As what? As, in the animal realms. It's to remind us, this is the amount of suffering. Other people are cheering behind you, right? Saying, yeah, you got this, another bite. Even though they're cheering, what they're showing is what? This is what you had to do through many, many lives. This is what you had to do through many, many lives. The amount of suffering that you do. Nowadays, if you're hungry, right, all you have to do is what? Not here, but at home, whenever I was hungry at home, all I had to do was what? Just scream at the top of my voice, what? Amma. And some sort of food will appear. All I had to do is shout, Mom, I'm hungry, and food just appeared in front of me. But back then, back in the previous lives, running after, chasing after, the amount of stuff. I mean, it's a really great opportunity to actually realize the amount of suffering that one had to go through just to have a meal. It's to remind us. It's a good way to remind us. Although many people don't realize, but it's there to remind us. So yes, you should be cheering, But in the back of your mind, realizing, oh, I had to do that, didn't I? Another one of my favorites, and I actually remember that I think once I tried. One of the other games is this, the Grease Tree. Now, for those of you who may not know what grease is one of the most annoying things that you can ever have. Why? It's sticky, it's slippery, and impossible to wash off. So basically the task is, there's a massive pole that's covered in grease and oil, mostly grease, and on top there's a flag. Task is to take the flag. And I remember seeing lots of different ways of people trying to find ways to climb up. Right? One of the most famous methods is to get something and remove the grease as much as possible. However, that's not the way to actually get the flag. Which is very interesting because, to actually get the flag, all that has to happen is what? A team comes together. A team of people have to come together. Never would you be able to get the flag alone. People will try. I've tried. I came home covered in grease and a lot of shouting from Amma, besides the point. I think Amma decided to just throw the clothes in the bin. She didn't want to even look at it. But the only way you can actually do it, you can try to do it alone, but it's almost next to impossible. The only way you can do it is if you get into a team. And using one another, you climb up to capture the flag. But only one person can take the flag. The rest, they don't get it. Only one person can get the flag. Only one person can achieve the achievement. The other people, they don't get anything. They don't get the flag. If everyone tried to get the flag, that means no one will climb it up. No one will climb. It's to show us two things. Number one thing, the first thing is, teamwork, of course. Second thing is to be able to be happy at someone else's success. Because the person at the bottom, so normally they get the pole, and then you get a person, and you get on top of that person, another person, and X, Y, Z, until you get the flag. The guy in the bottom will never get the flag. But when they get the flag, the person at the bottom is also happy. Why? At the achievement of someone else. It's to show us that, you can be happy with someone else's achievement. No, you don't need to be the one who gets the flag. You can still be happy by looking at someone else get the flag, by helping another person get the flag. And it's a beautiful concept of showing that, you don't need to get the achievement to be happy. Helping someone else get there, that's enough. That's more than enough. And not only that, it also shows cause and effect, all the causes to get the effect. But yeah. And you really do realize that all of this is, showing us different faces, almost lessons that we can learn every year. All right, the third and final game that I would like to explain to all of you, and I think it's one of the most interesting ones as well. It's the game of Kanamuttiya. So, if I explain this game, very simple. What is there? There's three clay pots. One of them is filled with water or milk. water, 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 good, still remember. And you blindfold the person, you spin them around, you give them a baseball bat, and they have to hit one of these pots. Now, this is a beautiful analogy, an absolute beautiful analogy. Because why? You enter this game blindfolded. You're spun around. Spun around in the cycles of what? The cycles of what? Samsara. And then you're let go. Do you know where you came from? Do you know where you're going? You're holding this bat. Do you know where you came from? Do you know where you're going? Let me ask you the same question. Do you know where you came from? Do you know where you're going? And then you're holding this bat and you're walking forward. Suddenly you hear hundreds of voices, what? Scream at you. Left, right, forward, swing, go back. You have a choice. Do they listen or not? Those of you, some people decide not to listen. They go their own way. And they take, you know, a couple steps forward, a couple steps back, a couple steps to the right, left, and they swing at a person. And they're missing the pot entirely. Because you only have one chance to swing. One chance. Once you swung, game over. So, you know, some people decide not to listen at all. To go their way, you know, not caring about whatever anyone else says. They swing. 99.999% of the time, they'll never hit it. And then, you know, those who do listen, there are hundreds of voices screaming at you. But you have to hone in to just one. You have to hone in to just one voice. Because if you try listening to everyone's advice, well, someone says left, the other person says right, so you're going to go left and right. Someone says swing, someone says don't, and you swing and you don't, and you've missed it. But you have to hone into just one voice. And according to who you hone into, the results are different. Some people want you to pass. Some people don't want you to. Some people want you to hit the pot with the pot. Some people don't. Do you know what's even better? Some people are just as blindfolded as you. Still, they are also screaming. Not seeing where the pots are, they are also screaming. Giving you directions. Hey, watch this movie and you'll be happy. Hey, you know, have this food and you'll be happy. Be a doctor. Be an engineer. Be a lawyer. They're just as blindfolded as you. And they're screaming. You hone into that voice, or you'll swing, missing your chance. But if you hone into that right voice, if you hone into the correct voice, that voice can see these three pots. And not just see the three pots. Can, if I remember clearly, the pot that has the water looks slightly different. You can see a difference in it. The person who can see it knows exactly the right pot. Gives you the instructions that if you follow exactly. If you follow the words exactly, you'll get to the destination. But before you swing, one thing that person will always say is what? You have blindfolds on. Take your blindfolds off. Once you've taken your blindfolds on, off, does that person have to tell you to swing? No, because you can see. You know exactly where you have to go. Whether you have to travel just about a bit more left or a bit more right, a bit more forward, a bit more back. You take the bat. You swing. I think Kanamurti is one of the most beautiful analogies that you can ever get when it comes to the path of Nibbana. It's a beautiful analogy. I mean, it really does show how this culture is really built on the concept of Buddhism. How the Sri Lanka and the Singana Tamano Ye has this philosophy built in. So truly do enjoy these. Try to see the meaning behind these. Because, you know, these all have good meanings. Only if you're wise enough to see. Only if you're wise enough to see. You know, these are all, you know, this is not Nibbana. Sri Lanka, the Singha Tamano Ye is not Nibbana. Now, just because we celebrate doesn't mean you'll attain Nibbana. But these are almost ways you can accumulate enough merits to remind us of what we have to do. These are ways that we can accumulate merits and to remind us of what we have to do. Now, like we talked about last time, there needs to be things to trigger. We need a trigger to trigger us in this path to contemplation. We need a trigger. So let everything be a trigger. You know, don't let any moment go by. So don't let the Sri Lanka, the Singala Tamil New Year go by without using it as a trigger. Last time we talked about how, you know, the two main things that you need when it comes to attaining Nibbana is what? Number one, asking forgiveness for any aripu others. Second thing is rejoicing in merits rejoicing merits and punya namodana. Two of the main things to help us be more aware. Do you not see that the Singala Tamano Ye has these two things in it? Number one, asking for forgiveness. See, if you're surrounded by these noble ones, or nobility, I mean, this is a great opportunity to go to every single person and to ask for their forgiveness. So do that from the very bottom of your heart. As well as number two, rejoicing in merits. Because there are tons of opportunities to do merits, as well as to remind you of the people around you. Because, you know, sometimes you don't realize how much another person does for you. Sometimes you will never, you know, something that my mother would always tell me is, you will never know how much I do for you. And, you know, maybe I will never. But I can try. Because you can see and rejoice. Rejoice in the merits and help others rejoice as well. So don't let a moment go by. Let every moment be a trigger. A way for you to, you know, trigger this awareness. Don't let the new year go by. So when you ask for forgiveness, And let's say the person doesn't forgive you. They just looks away. Does it matter? You go up to someone that you know that doesn't like you, and you go up to them and say, you know, I'm sorry for whatever I've done. Please forgive me. And they say, you know, I forgive you, but you know they haven't. Does it matter? As long as you're clean, you sincerely ask for their forgiveness. It doesn't matter if they forgive you or not. It really doesn't. Anyway, most of you are surrounded by one of the most amazing people. Right? Some of the most amazing people in this entire world. So, you know, of course they'll give you forgiveness. But it doesn't matter. As long as you truly ask for it from the very bottom of your heart, it doesn't matter. So I challenge you. During this week, to number one, ask for forgiveness. Anyways, for some of you, you know, it's you already have the opportunity. But number two, I challenge you to go up to the people that you have the slightest dislike. Doesn't need to be big, the slightest dislike. Right? It could be like, you know, you can dislike the person a lot or to a tiny bit. Go up to them and tell them, you know, I used to see you like this, this, and this, but I realized that's a problem on my end. Right? Because actually you're like this, this, and this. So you say that I used to see. Then you tell them that I realized the problems with me. But then you tell them how they are actually, their good qualities. And then I challenge you to do this for at least three people. See if you can do it for three people. Three people that you dislike. Three people that you dislike. Again, you know, those of you who are at the monastery will say, well, I don't have anyone I dislike. I love everyone around me. Okay. I agree. But there'll be some people that you unconsciously avoid. You can't unconsciously avoid someone. You know exactly who I'm talking about. Right? See if you can do this. See if you can do this to three people. Just three. Challenge yourself. Challenge yourself. See, some of you are probably now thinking, I have to go up to them and actually talk to them. I can't talk to them. That's like impossible. Because I have to tell them what I used to think about them. I can't do that. You know. I can't say the problems with me because it's their problem. They're the ones who snores too loudly. But this one you can do. I think everyone in the monastery can do this one very well. See the good qualities in others? You know. I mean, we can do that in our sleep. Né? You see a person, if you toss them, tell them, you know, the good qualities about a person, very easy. I think for majority of people, this will be the most difficult one. To go to a person and say, you know, this is how I used to think about you. See if you can. See if you can go up to that person and say, you know, I used to think of you like this and this and this. But I realize it's my problem, not yours. You know, actually, you're like this and this and this. If I've ever done anything to hurt you in any sort of way, whether by my actions, my words, or even a thought, in this life or previous ones, may you forgive me. And beneath all that is, this one you may not need to say loudly, but you can if you want. Forgive me, and I forgive you. I mean, this part anyway in the monastery you do a lot. These parts. This part, very difficult. Very difficult. But see if you can do it. So I challenge you. So don't think of this as homework because you're too old to have homework, right? We don't give homework. But see if you can do this. Actually give yourself a challenge. If you feel reluctant, understand, I think this is also a very good way of actually seeing or judging who you are. Because right now, if you think, I can't do that, understand that that's also what? A defilement. If you think, okay, I can do this, okay, and you go up to the person and think, I can't do this, understand that's what? Defilement. If you can't say this part, understand, that's a defilement. If you can't say this part, understand, that's a defilement. If you enjoy saying this part, understand, that's also what? Why? Because then when I say something bad about them, I say something good about them. At least they know that I think goodly of them. That's okay. Or if you enjoy saying good quality, that's also what? A defilement. You know, this is a very, very good way of actually finding out what sort of mindset you have. And this is why giving yourself a challenge is very, very interesting. You get to realize more about you than actually the other person. I mean, this part will happen, but this will actually teach you about you. This part will teach you more about you. Whether you feel reluctant to go to people, whether you enjoy going to people, whether you don't like it, whether you find it difficult to say some parts or difficult to say others. Because actually you should be able to say this with no... out of compassion to the other person, you may want to dial it down and apply butter and whatnot. But technically, you should be able to say this as a cold, hard truth. So I'm not saying it's a... Technically, you should be able to say, instead of saying that, sometimes I've seen you once or twice, some days, or maybe on the weekends, or maybe not, I can't remember when exactly, but, sometimes when you're not busy... you kind of sometimes go to the bed sometimes and you lay in bed. I don't know if you're sleeping or not, but you might be sleeping or not. You should be able to go and say, well, I used to think you're lazy, full stop. I used to think you sleep all the time, full stop. If you can say it, there's a cold, hard truth. Not because you're a cold-hearted person, because you don't... Because if you're trying to round it, it could be because you don't have that feelings. If that is so, it's okay. But if you have the reluctance to go and say, I don't want to hurt their feelings because I don't want them to think badly of me, because, then they think, I don't have a heart, but, I have a big heart. But, if you have it because, if you have, reluctance to go and tell them the cold hard truth because you want to protect you, then that's a defilement. But if you know that person, someone who gets really hurt very quickly, then, you know, going around and rounding off the corners and making sure it looks nice, then it's okay. Yes. Okay. If you're reluctant, how do you convince yourself to do it? If you're reluctant, well, the only way, only reason that you're reluctant is because you see that that is a person or you see that as a person, as a fixed entity. Because, for example, if you went to a tree and said, tree, I don't like you, who has a reluctance to go to a tree and to say that? No, but you think that, you know, this person, I'm turning to this person, and this person will think badly of me. Because if you're reluctant to talk to the person, you should be reluctant to do this part as well, the good qualities. But you're not. You're reluctant because you think that this person, when I tell this person, they'll get hurt, but they'll think badly of me. So what we have to do is we have to open that door and we have to answer and we have to show ourselves that, you know, actually this is, I'm just talking about an event. I'm just talking about an event that happened, you know, back. Me describing an event, that's not talking about a person. Therefore, let me show this mind how I used to think. Just in case, maybe they have that mistake and they might want to change it. But you're the only reason that you feel reluctant is because you see a fixed entity here, this person. This person will think like this if I say this. But again, I mean, if you have the feeling of that it might hurt the person, again, dial it down. But if you know that this person, like, say for example, say you know the person is 100% okay, if you went and screamed at their face, they'll be okay. Then you should be able to go and tell them straight to their face, I thought you're lazy. You know, I thought, you know, you have no heart, you don't care about people, but actually, I was wrong, I saw it wrong. But actually, you're a good person, X, Y, Z. You know? So the only reason that you're reluctant is because you see it as a fixed person. So contemplate on it. I mean, the actual, you know, that contemplation truly, truly, if you truly contemplate, it works. It truly does work. I was talking to one of our monks, and he used to be someone who would faint at the sight of blood. Trust me, he's like a very big person, but at the sight of blood, he used to faint. His own or someone else's, it doesn't matter, blood, faint. And I was talking with him, and recently he had helped out in the hospital. And one person had come in and had a pretty deep gash, you know. And there was lots of blood. And he was telling me, Abhyandra, you know, I was helping the doctor, you know, giving them whatever they needed, gloves and what the needles and threads and whatnot, the sutures and whatever he had. He told me lots of technical terms. I didn't know any of them, so lots of technical things. And I didn't feel the slight bit queasy. I asked, like, and I go, how? I didn't do anything. But the moment I saw it, the first thing that came to my mind is what? No, this is not a person. This is not blood. These are just causes coming together to give rise to an effect. I just remembered it and I didn't feel queasy at all. And trust me, that injury wasn't like a small one either. It wasn't like a small cut. It was like a pretty deep gash. But he was okay. That's the thing, you know. Even, you know, I asked him, did you ever think that you'll ever get over the sight of blood? And he said, never. You know, he's now, I think, 40-something years old. And I thought, you know, for my entire 40 years, I couldn't see blood. But now I'm okay. Although these may sound like miracle stories, they're not. These are people that have listened and practiced and honed into that voice, listened to the voice and practiced. And now, you know, are practicing. So it's a very beautiful thing. You know, the more you practice, the more further you go on, the more you understand, the more pure your heart is, the easier it is. That's why, you know, having a pure heart is one of the key essential ways to go further. So, enjoy the New Year's. You know, it's, I think, 2 days away. Enjoy the New Year's. See it as it truly is. Ask for forgiveness. Forgive and ask for forgiveness. And start the next year on a clean slate. Okay. I do have some messages, as far as I know. Number one is, of course, the New Year's. We have our New Year's coming up, and therefore, in 2 days, there will be no programs, as far as I know, but we'll have the monastery's programs, as in... So, I think the gates aren't closed, but they're closed. So basically, our family can come up. So our monks, anagarikas, as well as our Sila Shravaka Shravikas and the Vaisis and whatnot, can come up and we have an event for all of us. But we do encourage you to go and spend it with your family. I want to spend it with our family, you want you to spend it with yours. As well as we do have our discussions today at 12:15 in the library. So please do join that. It's a great opportunity for you to actually, you know, converse and ask questions and whatnot. As well as after the sermon, we do have Buddha Puja, which, of course, all of you are invited. Right. Any other messages? Okay. Let's take a few moments to transfer merits and conclude today's discussion. Let's take a moment to transfer all the merits we acquired by making offerings to the infinite virtues of the Noble Triple Gem, chanting Pirith, listening to Dharma, and engaging in various meritorious deeds today. So first and foremost, let's remind ourselves how incredibly fortunate we are to be in receipt of Lord Buddha's teachings. And with immense gratitude, let's transfer the merits to the Bhikshunis, Upasakis, Upasakas, who since time immemorial have protected and preserved the sublime teaching of the Buddha and passed it down to the generation of the noble lineage in the form of the Tripitaka, which is thankfully available to us today to study, to understand, to comprehend Dhamma. Let's take a moment to transfer merits to all the members of the Mahasangha present throughout the world, including all the chief prelates of all the chapters, who have dedicated their lives to the noble path and committed themselves to the betterment of all sentient beings. Let's not forget among them will be the monks and nuns resting in local temples and nunneries who have always been by our side to thick and thin, come rain or shine. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to Guru Sanansi, as well as other monks resident at the monastery, as well as anagarikas attached to the monastery. Let's take a moment to transfer merits and express our gratitude to those who made great efforts to spread the teaching of the Buddha, be that by transliterating sermons, sharing them out with others, inviting others to join them. May the power of the merits, if any of them have been born in the woeful plains, may they redeem themselves and be born in the blissful plane. May by the power of the merits, may they abstain from meritorious deeds. Fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the Noble Eightfold Path, and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's take a moment to transfer merits to the friends of the monastery who, for sake of merits, continue to sustain the Mahasangha. This includes every one of you who have contributed to the construction of the monastery, to those of you who provide the Mahasangha with shelter, arms, roads, medicines, as well as those who pass on their know-how, extend their well wishes. May by the power of the merits, may they abstain from meritorious deeds. Fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the Noble Eightfold Path, and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's take a moment to transfer merits to our mothers, fathers, grandparents, uncles, aunts, cousins, nephews, our brothers, sisters, sons, daughters, and nieces, nephews and nieces, friends and acquaintances, employees, and to all that have helped us, supported us, assist us in shape or form. By the power of the merits, may they be healed any physical mental ailments. May they overcome any obstacles in their spiritual progress. May they abstain from unmeritorious deeds. Fulfill the meritorious deeds. Fulfill the Noble Eightfold Path and attain supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to the Devas, Brahmins, Spirits, Demons, primarily the Sakadevas, Nimas, and Cosmic Deities, who have committed to protect and fulfill the Sambuddha Sasa. Let's not forget, among them will be our Garden Deities, who keep a watchful eye over us and keep us out of harm's way. May the power of the merits, may they prosper in divine power and wisdom, may they abstain from unmeritorious deeds. Fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the Noble Eightfold Path, and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's take a moment to transfer merits to our ancestors who have predeceased us, to all that has been friends and family to us in this long journey in Sansara. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to all those members of the armed forces as well as the police force who sacrificed their lives to protect the peace and harmony of our nation. May all those who lost lives in the war with a friend or foe rejoice in the merits we've acquired today. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to all those lost lives in natural calamities such as tsunamis, earthquakes, landslide pandemics, reminding ourselves among them will be those been friends and family to us in this even longer journey in Sansara. May by the power of the merits, if any of them have been born in the above planes, may they redeem themselves and be born in the blessed plane. May by the power of the merits, may they abstain from unmeritorious deeds. Fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the Noble Eightfold Path, and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And finally, let's all resolve, may the power and the blessing of all the merits required today, we being a witness event of many hundreds of thousands of Arat Mahinwanses in this blessed land. And finally, may the power of all the merits acquired throughout the day, may you and I and everyone who made this program a success become an Arat Mahinwanse or an Arat Mahinwanse in this very life, in the era of the Gautama Supreme Buddha itself. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. May the blessings of the Noble Triple Gem be with you all. The members of the Mahasangha will now transfer their blessings to you.
Raga ginnin midetnva Dvesha ginnin midetnva Moha ginnin midetnva Nibbhana parama sukhayin Sukhita taravetnva Nibbhana parama sukhayin Sukhita taravetnva Nibbhana parama sukhayin Sukhita taravetnva Mamada siyalu loka Siyalu satnvayo Nibbhana parama sukhayin Sukhita taravetnva Nibbhana parama sukhayin Sukhita taravetnva Nibbhana parama sukhayin Sukhita taravetnva Raga gini niveva Dvesha gini niveva Moha gini niveva Nivan sapa labeva Nivan sapa labeva Nivan sapa labeva
Tunnange Swissanatha Mahaguna Belena Sri Loka Sri Satyama Nibbhana Pramasukin Sukhita Vetta.